You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My name is Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. We're going through the Bible here, and we began in Genesis some months ago, and we have ended up in Leviticus. There's a continuity in the Old Testament, specifically the first five books of the Old Testament that goes from creation and through the children of Israel. We are with the children of Israel after the first year. They got to 1 year out of Egypt, the first day of the first month of the second year out of Egypt. They had set up the tabernacle. They had no temple yet. Their temple was in a tent called the tabernacle. And we have the instructions here for the priesthood that we're going through in Leviticus, and we're in chapter 4. And if you've missed any of this, you can go back. You'll find that this study, the first hour, and this, the second hour, is posted at the website crosstheborder.org, where it will be posted there in a few hours. You will also find there the entire study in Genesis is posted, and the entire study in Exodus is posted. Or if not posted, email me. My email address is there, or a link for it is there at crosstheborder.org, and ask me, where is the link for whatever it is you're looking for? And I would gladly help you out with any questions you have. I have many other studies. Some are posted, some are not, but many of them are available for download. So if you have any questions about specific things, I may answer you with an entire study. So don't be surprised if that happens. Okay, we're in, stop this thing, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 6. And let's back up a little bit. He shall bring the bullock. Okay, we're talking about a sin offering here. And yeah, the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before Yahuwah, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for a sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards. And this is a lot more repetition of things that we've already covered three or four times. So whether it's a sin offering, whether it's a peace offering, every type of offering was pretty much handled in the same way, with few minor differences. All offerings were voluntary, so that no one was coerced. You were not required, and I've heard people say that they were required. No one was required to do anything in this system. Our Heavenly Father always, if He requires anything, He requires anyone who shows up before Him to show up before Him on a voluntary basis. Now, there is a day that where you will involuntarily show up before Him, and we all have that day coming. And of course, that comes after our mortal flesh is planted in the ground. Then there's no way out of it, because your mortal flesh is gone. You have lost your autonomy, so to speak. You are totally, He has revoked your autonomy. Let's put it that way. Otherwise, see, the autonomy that you have is a gift that He has given to you. And that is the day when He revokes your autonomy. It's a grace period that He gives to you, so that you may have the opportunity to voluntarily come before Him. So don't ever think that anyone was required under the Levitical, the priest sacrifice temple system, that anyone was required to do anything. We see it over and over here, that it was all voluntary. Our Heavenly Father was not a tyrant, is not a tyrant. He allows you to ignore Him all of your life if that is what you desire to do. He wants you to come voluntarily before Him. Chapter 4, verse 13. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin, which they have sinned against it, is known, okay, when they discover their sin, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before Yahuwah, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. So we have a corporate assembly, we have a corporate sacrifice here, where the elders lay their hands upon the head of the sacrifice for the whole congregation, or for the whole nation, really. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before Yahuwah, and even before the veil. So we have here the same ritual for the whole congregation, except for the part where the elders, all of the elders, lay their hands upon the head. So he shall put some of the blood upon the horns, which is before Yahuwah, and that is the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. He shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. He shall do with this. The priest shall make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. So their sin is covered, at least a temporary covering, by the shedding of the blood of these animals. And perhaps it would be an appropriate study for anyone in their personal studies to jump forward into the book of Hebrews in the New Testament and read it. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn it. Burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. So now we have they're going without the camp for a sin offering. And when a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before Yahuwah. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar, the burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And it shall be, and he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, the fat of the sacrifice, the peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance. So, you know, there's a difference between if you sin ignorantly or if you sin willfully. If you sin willfully, well, if you sin through ignorance, then your sin can be forgiven through the sacrificial system. Mistake, inadvertent transgression, ignorance, unaware, unwittingly. And that's fairly broad. It could be, yes, that could be defined broadly what the word through ignorance means. Because, I mean, even the word ignorance means ignore. It comes from ignoring. Okay, so if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of Yahuwah concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he has sinned, come to his knowledge, so we have an or there, if his sin come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for a sin which he has sinned. And if he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering, and the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar, and he shall take away all the fat thereof, and the fat is taken away off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering to slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offerings. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar, and he shall take away all of the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the gravity of our disobedience and the sin of mankind, I believe, is the main objective here, is what is being put across here, and that we must willingly, of our own free will, voluntarily, come before him, even now. We don't have to bring, because the sacrifice has already been made. All of this has been done away with. Well, not done away with, but fulfilled would be a better word. The sacrifice has been fulfilled. This whole priest temple sacrifice system was fulfilled. It's been done away with because it was fulfilled by one man, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, Yahushua, also called Jesus. When he shed his blood for our sins, he became our sacrifice. We go to him, and we are covered by his blood. His blood was shed at the altar for our sins. In Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, and if a soul sin, and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now, I don't quite understand what is going on here. Read on. Well, maybe we'll get a little more information. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing. Well, I got to go back. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, he do not utter it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be the carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, and it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of a man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. So if you don't know something, I guess you bear it. But when you find out, then you're guilty of it, and you have to do something about it. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, or Yahuwah, for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, or a lamb, or a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass with he had committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto Yahuwah, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So if you're poor, you can't afford a lamb, and you certainly can't afford two turtle doves. Apparently that's the meaning behind that. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner of the priest who shall make atonement for him for his sin which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons then he that sinned shall bring for his offering a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching a sin that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, If a soul shall commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of Yahuwah, and he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering, he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priests, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he knew it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. If he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock by the estimation for a trespass offering unto the priests, and the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass offering against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor. So we're getting into particulars here. Or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all of these that a man doeth sinning therein. Then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which was he took violently away, or the thing which he has deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. So it's a theft, whether you find something that was lost, and you see that even carried forward in our laws today. If you find something, you're supposed to put out a notice and report it so that whoever lost it can recover their property. If you don't do that, then it is theft. If you don't make some attempt to restore that which you found to the rightful owner, it's not finders keepers, sorry. I mean, if you find a penny on the ground, it's not worthwhile to find out who the penny belongs to. Unless you see someone drop it, then you would restore it, a dime, a quarter, a penny. If you find $1,000, you know somebody's looking for it. And if you make the effort, you know you're going to find them. Of course, you have to act wisely. You can't just go around asking people if they lost $1,000, because half of the people would say yes. If you have $1,000 in your hand and you're looking for the owner, you'd probably be surprised at how many owners you can find. You would say something like, I found a certain amount of money here about, and if you lost it, tell me how much it is, and I will restore it to you. Something like that. You'd have to use a little wisdom, but the object is to restore that which was lost to the rightful owner of it. Or all that is about which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add a fifth part more thereto. So if you get something or swear falsely or find something and you keep it and you don't restore it, but you come to your senses, you're supposed to add a fifth part to it and restore it to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. So if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't restore, or if you find that your neighbor has aught against you, or if you have trespassed against your neighbor and you don't make it right, well, before you bring a trespass offering, you are to make it right. That principle was upheld by Yahushua, our Messiah, when he was about his ministry. Basically, he said, before you bring your offering, that you go and you make it right with your brother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So you come to yourself, you're bringing your offering, and then his Holy Spirit convicts your heart about something between you and your neighbor. You are to make it right. You see, the same principle is being applied here, that these people are voluntarily bringing a trespass offering, and as they're bringing it, they're going, oh, well, wow, you know what? The Holy Spirit touches them, that they have to restore this thing. Perhaps they found something. They found out later that their neighbor lost something after they had spent it. Well, they have to go and make it right with their neighbor and add a fifth part to it. So you see the same principles here throughout the law and how important these things are to our Heavenly Father, that we have to love our neighbors ourselves. We have to make it right with our neighbor before we come to Him. And we see how, as Yahushua said, he said, on these two, you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbors yourself. Upon these two hang the law and the prophets. So we see it demonstrated in the law here, and in the sacrificial ceremonial and sacrificial rites, we see it. And he shall bring the trespass offering unto Yahuwah, ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. The priest shall make an atonement for him before Yahuwah, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So you didn't have to, you know, perhaps you brought your trespass offering once a year, but before you made your trespass offering, the Holy Spirit perhaps would reveal to you or bring to your remembrance all of the things that you had done against your neighbor in that year or since your last trespass offering that you're bringing voluntarily, and your Heavenly Father wants you to make it right. And then your offering is accepted. And it's no different today. You know, you can go and you can get on your knees and you can ask for forgiveness of your sins, and perhaps your Heavenly Father will say, your brother over here has something against you, or you did this or you did that against your brother. Go make it right with your brother, then come back to me. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? He tells us, you know, Yahushua said, these are the great commandments. Love God is the greatest of all, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we do the greatest commandment. We love our Heavenly Father, and we go before Him with our prayer and our supplication, and we ask forgiveness, and He says, I want you to go to your neighbor first and make it right with your neighbor. So to love Him, we have to go to our neighbor first and love our neighbor. That is loving Him. So we have to love Him first, but let's not get it mixed up. He said that's the greatest, to love our Heavenly Father. And when we go to Him, perhaps He'll say, go to your neighbor and then come back to me. That's the law of His kingdom, to love Him and to love our neighbor as ourself. So, and Yahuwah, the Lord, spoke unto Moses, saying, command Aaron his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen breeches, he shall put upon his flesh, he shall take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood upon it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. And this is the law of the meat offering upon of offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before Yahuwah, before the altar, and he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering, and of the oil of the altar for a sweet savor, even a memorial of it, unto Yahuwah, unto the Lord. And we'll pick up here when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we are going through the Bible, through the book of Leviticus.